Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the show. I'm Jason Whitlock. Soccer fans, stay put. We're going to recap Brazil's ending Mexico's World Cup run today.
And I'm Colin Cowherd, and I'll tell you why Magic deserves a ton of credit for LeBron coming to the Lakers. Speak for yourself. Starts now.
Oh, my God. All right. Happy Monday. Hello and welcome. We're joined today by NBA champion Steven Jackson and Fox NBA analyst Chris Broussard. Let's start with the story everyone's talking about. DeAndre Jordan signing with the Mets. Hold on, just kidding. Of course, the big story this weekend is LeBron James coming to Los Angeles, signing a four-year, $154 million contract with the Lakers. LeBron will join LA's young core of Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma. And while the Lakers are adding a few veteran role players, as of now, it doesn't look like LeBron will get another big-name free agent to team up with. Cowherd. JaVale McGee, Lance Stevenson, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
Come on.
They taking the right approach here in Los Angeles.
Yes. By the way, Vegas has them as an over 50-win team, third in the league. Do you think Cleveland would be picked to finish second in the West? Because that's what the Lakers are today in Vegas. Vegas also had them, the Lakers, as an overwhelming favorite to land LeBron. And the media and bloggers and fans said it would never happen.
Who Vegas said it would never happen besides me? Continue.
I think this is Los Angeles. This feels big. It looks big. It looks global. People are going to want to play. And LeBron's still the best player in the league. Look at the excitement.
Cavaliers West. That's what we have.
Way
here.
Better players. West. Way better players. Jordan Kevin Clarkson.
Kevin Love.
Kevin
perennial
Love
all-star.
Has been an
perennial all-star.
Oh, come on.
Tristan Thompson has rings. A ring, at least.
Vegas has this as the second to third best team in the league.
These kids he's playing with, do they shave yet? Seriously.
You don't like
the move.
Have
they got any playoff experience? I'm just saying, is it the right? Kentavious Caldwell-Pope gets it? Lance Stevenson, I'm from Indiana. I love Lance Stevenson. But Lance Stevenson?
I like that move.
JaVale McGee?
This is in the NBA today, you need wings who can shoot and wings who can defend shooters. Kuzma, Ingram, LeBron, they're going to get Kawhi, KCP, Lance Stevenson.
Chaos. That's what that sounds like to me, chaos.
Yeah, look, Vegas is sniffing something. I mean, to say they're the third best team in the NBA right now, that's crazy. Right. But we're looking at it wrong. If you're saying, is it the right approach to win a championship next year? No, there's no way. They don't have a prayer of winning a championship next year. But for LeBron, this is similar. We don't think of it this way. We think of him as he's always trying to stack the deck. But when you look at his history, this is similar to going back to Cleveland in 2014. That was a 33-win team. This is a 35-win team. Kyrie was, obviously, we knew he'd be great. But he was only in his fourth year, hadn't even been to the playoffs.
And heard a
Kevin
lot.
Love had never been to the playoffs. And LeBron, in his letter in Sports Illustrated, talked about patience, not going to happen overnight. I'm here for Northeast Ohio. Like, there were other factors.
29 years old then.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Now.
Winning should have been even higher on the list then than it is even now. Now he's willing to be patient. I think he's looking at it year two. We'll get another big name guy.
He got a year to waste at 33.
This is for titles, this is going to be a wasted year. There's no way he can win.
It's pretty simple to me. We're talking about LeBron James. You put him anywhere with another star.
he has a chance to win the championship. So whatever they're up to, long as they get another star there, he has a chance to win. And that's what I really believe. Even in the West.
What if they don't?
Then they're going to be a mediocre team. They won't even beat the top of the West. They'll be at the bottom of the West.
I am shocked by people that say, this Kawhi thing, it's not going to happen. You do get, in the last week, San Antonio's lost leverage. Before LeBron came to L.A., L.A. would have given anything to get Kawhi. Well, now they have LeBron. They've taken Kuzma off the table. They don't want to give away as many draft picks. You get every month.
Without Kawhi, what do you got, Colin? Got Cavaliers West.
No.
And that's not good enough.
I think
the West.
You have,
you
first of all.
You think they're a contender in the West right now?
I don't think they're as good as Golden State. I think they're the second best team.
Really? Better than Houston?
Trevor Ariza is gone. Chris Paul, do you think at the end of the year he's healthy?
Colin, you go to bed too early at night.
This team would have problems with Utah and Quinn Snyder.
Yes. Yeah, but that's before
Donovan
LeBron
Mitchell.
Got there.
No, I'm talking about this team with LeBron will have a problem with Utah.
You sleeping on OKC, too.
Yeah, exactly. They're bunched up right now with the Portlands, the OKCs, the Utahs, New Orleans. The West, this
Anthony
is not the
Davis.
East.
Yeah.
This ain't the East.
He's in bed.
This ain't the East
anymore.
He's
got an early morning radio show to do. He's in bed. You're not watching the West.
Oh, guys.
And he doesn't have Kawhi yet, you know.
Exactly.
Kawhi's coming. It's not done yet. Pop might not trade him to a West Conference team. You know, Pop, he has another year on his contract. So Pop can be stubborn and just make him sit there and play. He might not trade him to a West. And you know he got a good friend over there in
Minnesota.
Philly, so he might not be
I think he's ending up in Philly.
Yeah.
Kawhi.
His buddy over there.
Minnesota, you think that's a scary team for LeBron?
No. What I said was Houston, Utah, OKC. And Anthony Davis is always a
And
problem.
I'll throw Minnesota in there, too. I mean, again, it's a step up. There's no question. Look, let's just look at it this way. As much as I respect and admire LeBron in this game, he's been to 9 finals. If he were in the West, that would be 3 finals he's been to.
Yeah, trust me. I know he made this decision with understanding that he might not be back in the finals this year. Yeah. I'm pretty sure he made
this decision. I think you guys are overstating the Great West. Minnesota underachieves. Chris Paul can't stay healthy. Steph Curry gets injured. What is
LeBron James is 33, and he's playing with Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram, a bunch of kids, and now they bring JaVale McGee, who's the star of Shaqt and a Fool, and Lance Stephenson over here. I don't know.
Hi, I'm Alexi Lalas. I used to play soccer back in the 1900s for the U.S. Now you can find me talking about soccer this summer during the World Cup on Fox. Now through July 15th, you can get daily FIFA World Cup updates from me through your Alexa-enabled device. Just say, Alexa, play the Fox Sports Flash Briefing, and you'll get the latest tournament news straight from Russia. Alexa and Alexi, now that's a winning team. Don't forget to watch the 2018 FIFA World Cup all tournament long live on Fox and FS1.
May not have another superstar to contend with, but LeBron will have to share some space with the Ball family, who've been sucking the oxygen out of Staples for the past year. Yesterday, Lonzo was asked when he heard the big news.
I found out like everybody else. You know, it was a very exciting moment, you know, not only for myself, but for the whole city of LA. You know, very happy to have him. Man, it's the only word that comes to mind is crazy. You know, like you said, my whole life I've been watching him, you know, saying he's my favorite player, and then just to be able to have the opportunity to play with him. You know, it's really crazy.
All right, Whitlock, do you think LeBron can coexist with Lonzo and LeVar?
I think it's going to be very tough. You got to remember, LeVar and LeBron have already gone at it about their kids. And LeBron was very, keep my kids' names out of your mouth, keep them out of the conversation. Look at the way LeBron handled Dan Gilbert. And Dan Gilbert bent over backwards trying to make up, and LeBron's like, well, I'm going to tolerate you, but I'm just going to tolerate you. LeVar is a very tricky situation. This team is combustible, man. Lance Stephenson, Lonzo Ball making rap diss tracks. LeVar, you never know when he's going to erupt. Magic is a personality. This thing is very combustible. Kobe Bryant, he's doing interviews everywhere he can, trying to make sure he's a part of this. This situation is combustible.
I think LeVar knows how much leverage he has, which is zero. Lonzo's story, that Lonzo story broke 2 days ago, the injury. Well, why did it break 2 days ago? He's been hurt since the season. It broke because LeVar fed the media that story, Because he doesn't want his son traded? Because he knows Lakers don't need him. LeBron's led his team in assists 14 straight years. They don't need Lonzo. They don't need Lonzo. What they need are wing guys that can shoot. So my takeaway is LeVar knows I got no leverage here. Like, the Lithuania thing was a joke. Lonzo's hurt. LeBron's not going to take it, to your point about the parenting. And frankly, LeBron has the ball in his hands. They don't need Lonzo right now. And I think LeVar knows they don't need him.
That's why I think LeVar is smart enough to tone it down. Mm-hmm. And he's going to have to tone it down. He may come out and say something about, oh, LeBron's this and that, and LeBron and Lonzo, you know. But as far as the criticisms of the team, the coaching staff, the playing time, all that, Lonzo don't have the ball enough, I think he's smart enough to tone it down because he knows if not, he will be out of there. Now, on the court, I do think Lonzo and LeBron can coexist because LeBron has respect for other guys that have high basketball IQ and can make plays. He's got to work on his three-point shot, obviously. But if he can start knocking down the three-point shot, I think they'll both handle the ball and they'll be able to coexist on the court.
Like you said, LeBron is smart. And I think we've all learned something about Lonzo that LeBron probably have learned too. If you wouldn't hear LeVar talking and saying, that's my son, you wouldn't know that's his son because they're totally different. They're totally opposite. And I think LeBron knows this kid.
Put out a diss track on Kyle Kuzma. Well, talking about you don't know who your daddy is.
Well, I made a diss
track. That's not LeVar's son?
I made a diss track, too, about a lot of people. Even I made a diss track about the owner, but one of the owners. What I'm saying is it's rap. It's in today's culture. But I think him and Bron would do well together because they both want to win, and Bron understands that he's not his father. This kid is totally different from his dad. He wants to be great, and I think LeBron accept that.
Let me show me the additional player, and I can't think of it off the top of my head, and maybe y'all can help me out. A guy that can't shoot that LeBron loves. And remember, this kid shot 45% from the free throw line. He's got the worst looking jump shot we've ever seen in the NBA. Show me the role player that LeBron loves that can't hit the outside, that doesn't create space for LeBron to operate.
He did have his moments. There was about a month and a half last year where Lonzo was hitting the three. I'm with you. He's going to have to knock it down. That's one of the interesting things
about... He's going
to
get better, man.
Yeah, he's going to get better. That's the interesting thing about this team. Julius Randle can't shoot. Mm-hmm. Lonzo can't shoot. Lance isn't much of a shooter. Like, they are bringing in some guys that aren't really shooters. KCP can shoot.
But I like Julius Randle better than Tristan Thompson, though.
Yeah, Julius can play.
By the way,
I like him.
What you're watching the Lakers do, they've got draft picks, they've got young, improving players, and they got one-year contracts. This is not...
They're saving money for...
They're looking to make moves. This is just the beginning. They're going to let it bake for a while. I still contend Kawhi...
Were you at Magic's house last night? I mean, my God, you're selling this. I mean, they got... JaVale McGee, Shaq has made
a... going to play 8 minutes a night max.
Lance Stevenson is going to play
well.
He had a great year this year.
You understand these one-year deals are just placeholders.
Right.
This is for next summer when it's Klay Thompson, Jimmy Butler.
Then I'm going to swing back to my original
Kawhi.
Why do y'all think LeBron at 33, I'm going to just give away a year?
He's giving away a year. You're right. I'm with you on that. And that's why...
He's not mentally giving it away. He's going to go out and play now.
If they land Kawhi, he's not giving away anything.
If they land Kawhi.
I think they're going to.
If they land Kawhi. But that's... Why would Pop just give him to the Lakers and put himself further
in the... Because Kawhi has gone publicly to say, I want to be a Laker.
When have you seen Kawhi say that?
Well, no. His people...
Okay. We've never seen Kawhi say that.
Listen, Kawhi doesn't talk.
Right, right. We've never seen him say that.
But what general manager is going to roll the dice that I can... convince him to stay after giving away two...
But hold on, we just saw it happen with Paul George.
We just saw it. That doesn't mean it's going to happen again. We were all surprised.
But look, if Kawhi goes to the East, Philadelphia, let's say, he's already got a coach there he can relate to. You got two great players, a pass-first point guard, a big man who plays down low. They could win the East and I mean, they'd probably play well in the finals if they wouldn't win it.
And the doctors go see in New York as Philly's doctor.
Yes, I mean, I'm just saying... It's not a done deal that he's going to get
this Kawhi. This situation here in L.A. can blow up in everybody's face. It sounds good. Oh, we got LeBron. And that's why I think, and, you know, I don't know if we'll get into...
It can't get no worse.
It can't get worse. No, I'm not saying it's a bad move. I'm just saying it's very combustible, and that's why I think Kobe is selling it right now, how happy he is, because Kobe's smart enough to go, you know, this thing could blow up in LeBron's face. And I will elevate in that if that happens. If LeBron comes to LA, show me the great all from Wilt to Kareem to Shaq. when you're an all-time great and you come to L.A., you have to win championships.
Right.
If this blows up in LeBron's face, Kobe elevates. If he doesn't finish it, if he don't get a championship or two here in L.A., Kobe elevates, and Kobe can see, because he's got eyes, this thing could blow up in LeBron's face.
Well, you got to commend LeBron for being up for the task, I tell you that.
That's the thing. There's been this narrative, like I said, he wants to stack the deck, he doesn't want to compete. He's competing. He's taking on a risk.
All right, welcome back. Joined now by Fox soccer analyst Warren Barton. A little pump your fist for England.
I was pumping.
I'm 61% British. I just found that out
right?
My test.
61%. Yes. 61%. I'm 100%.
All right, Ian Joy, let's move to the World Cup. Brazil beat Mexico 2-0 to advance to the quarters. We've seen a number of other major powers, Germany out, Argentina, Spain, Portugal, eliminated already. All right, Warren, should Brazil be the overwhelming favorite to win this?
In my opinion, yes, because defensively they're very strong, which is un-Brazilian-like, and they've got a superstar, not only with Neymar, but Coutinho as well at Barcelona. So they've got two playmakers that are excellent going forward. They show they could defend. Belgium, we know about their capabilities and their strength, but if I'm looking at a team, when I think of a World Cup, I think of Brazil in a yellow shirt, and I think they're the favourites to win it.
I think when you look at both of these teams, it's entertaining because both like to attack, both like to score goals. The two coaches that have actually been in charge of these teams for, the last couple of years, have only had one defeat each over the last 25, 30 games. So you're looking at two competitive teams that like to score goals. So it should be an entertaining game. May the best team win.
It feels like a March Madness, though, where Duke and Kentucky have been knocked out. I feel like, usually I go to a World Cup, I feel like, okay, Germany's here, Argentina's here.
Yep.
I think Brazil's vulnerable. I think countries have caught up to the big powers.
Colin, you're right. There's no easy game in this tournament. You've seen Germany.
Japan should have beaten Belgium.
Exactly. That two-goal lead against Belgium, going into dying moments, they end up conceding a goal. That's what this World Cup's been about. It started off with Russia winning 5-0 in the opening game. That set the tone. Then you had Spain against Portugal 3-3, and then obviously Mexico beating Germany, one of everybody's favourites. So don't be surprised whatever happens in this tournament because it's that type of open game.
I don't know if you guys know anything about college basketball, but Colin mentioned Duke, and I feel like I saw Grayson Allen today. Neymar. Yeah. He rolled around on the ground for 3 or 4 minutes, stopped this game, and the Mexican coach, to me, was justifiably upset. This is too much for me. He's acting like he got shot.
Yeah, listen, to go 4 minutes without getting the game rolling again is disappointing. Neymar is known for that. Obviously, they knew going into the game, Mexico, that this was going to be a part of this match. Neymar does that. He doesn't like to be touched. He doesn't like to be fouled. Especially doesn't like to be stamped on, which is exactly what happened from the Mexican player, who should have been red carded, by the way. But I will say this. I think Brazil and Neymar were the better side on the day. Mexico's goalkeeper, Ochoa, had a hell of a game. But it wasn't enough. The best team went through in the end of the day.
Yeah, but that's what you're going to try and do. When you've got your best player that's playing, you know he's going to be one of these players that flop goes down easy. They went into the press beforehand and said, referee, watch out for this. And it just went on and on for 4 minutes, running around with someone that just touching your little toe, that rolling around. That doesn't need to happen because he's too good to do that. He's too good a player to have that put against him. When you want to go with Messi out the tournament, Ronaldo, you look at Neymar, and Mbappe popped onto the scene with France.
Yep.
He doesn't need to do that. I'm a big fan of his, and you're absolutely right. Why roll around and make it uncomfortable and embarrassing? I'd be embarrassed. If I watched that afterwards, I'd be embarrassed that I'm rolling around. But he is a target man, but that's part of being a top player.
Yeah. All right, to a massive comeback at the World Cup today, with Belgium scoring 3 times in the final 30 minutes to take down Japan, who were up 2-0 at one point. Ian, how shocked were you by this comeback?
Well, Colin just mentioned it there. Japan should have won the game. And when you have a 2-goal advantage, you really should close out the game. The tactics should be more defensive-minded with only 30 minutes left on the clock. But in this World Cup, anything goes. Warren also just talked about it. Expect the unexpected. And for Belgium to come back, we just thought maybe with 30 minutes left on the clock, if they can get a goal some way, somehow, they have a chance because they got a quality group of players who can go ahead and win that match. I didn't quite expect to see them in the last minute of the game like it was, but this is a great example of how good this tournament has been. Every single game has been entertaining. We've had one 0-0 draw in the whole tournament, which I never expected.
Is there a dark horse left? Is it Russia?
England.
England. Oh, don't go there. No, we're one of the favourites. You can't say that. We're one of the favourites.
Harry Kane's got 5 goals. He leads the World Cup.
He's got a hat-trick
and,
already.
And their side of the bracket. Actually, England plays tomorrow. Their side of the bracket, to me...
Don't say easier.
It's much easier.
You are English. You're getting very, very excited about it. It is, on paper, it looks easier. Croatia, they could be a dark horse. Yes. You know, they come through a very tricky time with the penalties. They've got enough quality to do it. England have got young, enthusiastic players. They're keeping away from Belgium. You're keeping away from Brazil. Yes. You're keeping away from France. So you've got every chance of getting into a final. And once you get to a final, I can't believe I'm talking about England getting to a final, you've got a chance to win.
Getting nervous.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned college basketball and you love to see an underdog do well. I mean, the lowest ranked team, Russia, they're doing incredibly well. So they've already overachieved for me, but I think Croatia might be a little too much for them, and they are potentially that dark horse that we could put money on.
It is amazing in the World Cup, by the way, the host country almost always overachieves. Almost always. Russia's done it again.
Welcome back. Steven Jackson is back. We're joined now by NBA insider Rick Bucher. Man. Let's return to the Lakers and Magic. I will not be apologizing. Magic reportedly was the one who sealed the deal with LeBron during a meeting at LeBron's house Saturday night. In the last few years before Magic took over, the Lakers have struck out on every major free agent that came on the market. But as Lee Jenkins reported, LeBron called his reps the day after his meeting with Magic and had a simple message: call the Lakers. All right, Cal Hurt, you think Magic really convinced LeBron to join the Lakers?
Yeah, I think Magic is a good salesman, and I think Magic's relatable, and I think Magic is LeBron. I think they're iconic. I think a three-hour meeting is in itself incredibly respectful. You don't hold a three-hour meeting with a random GM. He didn't even give the Sixers. He wasn't even present.
Right.
Like, he sat down with Magic and listened, and Magic can sell Magic. Magic can sell this brand. Magic can sell this
city.
Better
chance they were playing dominoes and talking.
I think Magic, Magic is a very unique presence. People like Magic.
You think LeBron made this decision yesterday or Saturday? I mean, serious. Peter Vesey was writing about this a year and a half ago.
Thank you.
Everybody was saying, this decision was made a long time ago. That's why he didn't meet with the Sixers. That's why he didn't meet with anybody. And that's why he invited Magic over to his house, and I'm sure they had a cocktail or two and were laughing and talking. But he signed a 4-year deal. You don't make a decision yesterday or 24 hours ago and then sign a 4-year deal. He got 2 houses out here. It was a done deal. The only thing that threw me off the trail was Magic with that little in. I'll quit if I don't get somebody in 2 years. That threw me off the trail a little bit. I made a fool out of myself. Magic, congratulations, but the decision was made long
ago. It was made years ago, a year ago?
I wouldn't say years ago, but certainly this has been in the plans for months and going back to the beginning of the year. And it really comes down to one thing. LeBron James wanted to get away from Dan Gilbert. That ultimately did not want to play with him, play for him, or play in an organization with him anymore. That was the bottom line. And I thought it was what we've seen, you know, the political discord. We obviously know they're on different sides of the equation when it comes to the president. I'm told that it's even deeper than that. So ultimately it was, I just need to go someplace else, and this was in place. So the idea that he was going to look into Magic's eyes. Okay, I'm coming.
Yeah.
Not a chance in the world. Rich Paul, his agent, has been in Rob Pelinka's office. I think he has like an auxiliary office in the Lakers front office right now. This has been in the works ever since they signed Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
I definitely believe it's been in works, but Magic definitely had a lot to do with it. As a player, we all respect Magic. You know, the guys that are students of the game, that watch the game, we all respect Magic. And a lot of times when you can do business with somebody like him that was great in the game, that's a great businessman, obviously him being there has something to do with it. But LeBron making that decision solely has something to do with his family and where he's more comfortable. But Magic being in that position definitely helped.
Here's the other thing.
Luke Walton.
It had to be Magic. Where else was he going to go?
Philadelphia. I was just told Philadelphia.
Okay.
It was great.
But you still need to make a deal, and the reality is he has a Ben Simmons. He has a Clutch Agency client there already. Ben Simmons is not going to be nearly as good playing next to LeBron James. They both need the ball. Even Lonzo Ball is a little bit different. Ben Simmons can't shoot at all, but at least with the ball in his hands. Lonzo's going to give it up early, mm-hmm. and he can play with him a little bit. Ben, it simply wouldn't work. And you have Joel Embiid, who can shoot the three, but you don't want him standing out there the whole time. Right. And if he's not standing out there all the time, then it's too clogged for LeBron to do what he does. So ultimately, when you look at the options, this didn't take a whole lot of decision-making. He didn't want to be in Cleveland anymore. He didn't want to play for Dan Gilbert. Where can I go? Oh, L.A.? I got a house there. Oh, it's a nice place.
I think Rick makes a great point, and we may have to get into this tomorrow. You going to be here tomorrow?
I'll be here.
Yeah, we may have to get into this tomorrow because I think you scratched the surface. I think a lot of what's driving this is politics. Mm-hmm. I think that LeBron James has swallowed that liberal Democratic stuff whole. And if you look at everything he's been doing the past couple years, he's in bed with the Clintons. This is ground zero for the liberal movement and the Hollywood movement. He's got two homes out here. This is about LeBron leaving the Midwest, and I'm gonna go out here and I'm gonna follow Magic's path and go wrap myself in Hollywood and that whole political movement, and I'm gonna be an icon. When this is over, I'm gonna be a spokesman for that liberal stuff that I believe, that he believes in. And so I think that's what's driving this. And
what, does he want to be governor or
no? No. He coming out here to get better. He getting better. Close. He want to be a billionaire. I don't blame him. If I could get next to Magic and soon be a billionaire, I would too.
He's part of this whole movement we've been seeing in sports the entire time for the past two or three years. This whole move to the left by sports people. He's going to come out here and be that icon.
You don't think he cares about basketball?
Oh no, he still cares about basketball. But I'm just telling you, he was done trying to do it in Cleveland. And Philadelphia.
Would you be after game one?
Yes, I would. Philadelphia and all this other stuff's not an option. He's coming
You're
home.
You're making basketball feel completely secondary.
It is.
And I don't. You
it
think
is.
So?
It is. Yeah. For sure. Look.
Coming here, of course.
Coming to the Lakers and what he has set up here from a professional standpoint after he retires. I mean, that's the attraction. If you're looking at this team as is, all the other options are far better than this,
right?
If it was about, that's what I had to laugh when he said, well, my consideration is going to be for my family, but I'm still in championship mode. I'm like, no, it's one or the other.
Right.
You know this, Stephen. Right. Like, you're either all about I'm giving myself the best chance to win,
right,
or I'm considering all these other things, my post-career ambitions, my family, where it's most comfortable for me to play. Mm-hmm. Those all took precedent over finding the best place to win.
And Kyle, I'm serious, we need to get into this tomorrow. It'd be perfect for your show. I think the president changed the mindsets of a lot of these pop culture icons. And so LeBron's coming out here to be the anti-Kanye West. Kanye West has chosen the lane as an icon. LeBron's gonna play the other side of it. And I could see LeBron being silly enough to go, if that guy can be president, our current president, why not me? and it sounds crazy, but I'm that's where we've gone as a society. Mm. Everybody, Kanye West thinks he can be president. LeBron, why not me? I'm just telling you, I think that's where we've gone.
I've already done a write-in vote for The Rock. So
there you go.
All right, to a guy who wishes he was on the Lakers, Kawhi Leonard. The Spurs have been talking with L.A. about a possible trade for the disgruntled star, but according to a new report, no progress has actually been made. Whitlock, now the Lakers have landed LeBron. Should they do whatever it takes to land Kawhi as well?
Yeah, I think so. If you want to win now, right, it's the only opportunity. And so if you have to give up Lonzo, LiAngelo, LaMelo, LeVar, and any of their first and second cousins to get Kawhi, that you damn sure should do it. Because without Kawhi, they're going to struggle with Utah. They're going to struggle with OKC. Definitely struggle with Houston.
How much, Rick, would you
give
up?
No shot against Golden
State. How much would you give up?
I would give up anything I could get to Kawhi.
Thank you. There would
so you'd give up Ingram and Kuzma?
Oh, of course. Hold on a second. So this overvaluation of what the Lakers have, these guys they got all the touches. They had freedom. They won 35 games, okay? You saw Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance Jr. I heard the same things when they were here. Oh, these guys are part of the new coming. And then they go to Cleveland and they play in real games. And you're like, oh, wait a minute. And they would have to play, all these guys have to play ancillary roles now. Steven, you know the big difference between when you get touches, you get volume shots, as opposed to you have to play a role next to LeBron. If I'm San Antonio, there's no package that the Lakers have that is attractive enough for me to move Kawhi Leonard. You're going to have to bring in a third team because I want a guy who can really play. And if I'm not going to get that, if it's just a matter of I'm going to get some decent young talent and I'm going to get some picks, I'll go get a Dario Saric because the one thing I know about him is he won't mind playing in San Antonio. Mm-hmm. He won't mind playing in my system. And so now I got pieces to build going forward. There is a special kind of guy, you know this too, mm-hmm. to exist in San Antonio.
Yes.
I'm not sure when you start your career with the Lakers and you get to play in this free-flowing, I get as much as I want, mm-hmm. now you're going to go play for Pop? You're going to re-up there? Yeah. You're going to play? Not a chance.
They have to get Kawhi. It's, LeBron's going to come here, and he's going to be upset in 2 or 3 years because they didn't get him. And that's the only reason they even talking about bringing him here is to win championships. They can't do it with the guys. They have a whole bunch of young guys, none of them proven, none of them been in the playoffs, none of them made big shots in their career. LeBron's going to be here spinning his wheels. No Kawhi is all for nothing. It's all for nothing.
I'm going to tell you the other thing. Kawhi needs LeBron because I'm just –
No, because he's going to get that max regardless.
I'm not talking about the money. I'm talking about on the court, Kawhi Leonard needs LeBron. Because Kawhi doesn't realize this, and I'm not taking a shot at him, but Popovich and that system has benefited Kawhi Leonard tremendously. And when he walks away from that system in Popovich, and he can go to Philadelphia, he can go a lot of different... If he goes anywhere other than LeBron... there's going to be a problem.
You're right.
He's not going to be the same player.
You're right, because they changed their whole offense for Kawhi. Remember, it was inside, pick and roll. Kawhi came, ISO, he coming down, pulling quick shots. That wasn't San Antonio offense. So you're right, they did change everything for him, and it's going to be different.
Rick, you just don't like this Laker roster. They won 35 games. Lonzo missed 30. Oh. Brandon Ingram missed 23. They won 35 in the West.
Lonzo missing 30 is part of the reason they won 35, Colin.
You don't like Lonzo at all.
Look, he can't shoot. It's a league that's about offense now. He can't shoot.
It's not that I don't like it. It's that once you have LeBron James, now the bar is set so much higher. This is not a team going from 35 to 40 games and maybe get a little bit higher. This is now suddenly a team that's supposed to be in the middle of the playoff mix, right? And it's not talent that it's built for LeBron James to take advantage of. And let's face it, as good as he was in Cleveland, as good as the numbers were, he's showing his age. Right. He can't play the same way. He needs help. So you tell me, you know how much he missed Kyrie, right? Who's his Kyrie here? Who's that guy where you... Kyrie, to me, is the best go-to guy yeah. in the clutch with a game okay. on the line. Right. Can get his own shot with nothing.
Kyle Kuzma is a rookie.
Hold up. You comparing players to Finals MVP, a defensive player
no,
of the year.
No.
You got to stop
I'm
comparing
Kyle
to Kawhi.
Kuzma
you can't do
as
that.
A rookie was significantly better than Kawhi and Paul George. Is he a 21-point-a-game guy next year? Looks like it to me.
Not with LeBron.
He averaged 16-6.
But see, it's when you get those numbers.
Yeah, it's so much
Kyrie's freedom. Going to get you those numbers in the fourth quarter with 3 minutes left, down by three, up by one, whatever it is. Kyle Kuzma? I mean, look, I don't want to kill the kid early because who knows?
But he's not
proven. Well, we don't know. Right. We don't know.
You made them the Sacramento Kings in the segment.
No.
We're close to it.
I'm so glad I insisted on Rick Bucher being on this show. You don't even like Bucher.
Yeah.
I'm so glad I insisted.
It's on the herd now. Welcome back, Steven Jackson, Chris Broussard. Let's move to Oklahoma City. Paul George decided not to join LeBron on his hometown Lakers, instead opting for a 4-year, $137 million with a stay with the Thunder. George actually announced the decision at a house party thrown by his teammate Russell Westbrook. I bet that was just nothing but fun.
Popping.
Whitlock, do you give Russ credit for George staying in OKC?
Is there anyone else to give it to? The guy
bank.
Made the announcement.
The bank.
He made the announcement at yes. Russell Westbrook's house. Who else to give him the credit for? We've sat here and heard no one wants to play with Russell Westbrook.
You think he's suddenly easier to play with today?
No, you said no one wants to play with Russell Westbrook. Paul George just decided to play with him. LeBron James, who I love and respect, Kyrie Irving didn't want to play with him.
And Paul George, apparently, either.
Paul George didn't want to play with him.
How do we know Paul George heard the Kawhi news and thought, I don't want to be a third wheel on the Lakers? That's not possible?
What's possible is he didn't want to give up that 40 extra million. That's
well, he only
possible.
Had to get, like, the Lakers could have given him, like, $8 million less, like 129 over 4 versus 137 over 4. So I don't think it was a financial decision. I do think you have to give Russ credit. I mean, how many times does George have to say it for us to believe it? He loved playing. He talked about the friendship. I think that was a huge part of it. The friendship, the trust he developed with Westbrook. And look, if it was just about, okay, I can't go to the Lakers and be the third option, then he could have looked at other teams. If it was just about, if Philly would have been, I still think he missed an opportunity to go to Philadelphia where he'd have been one first or second scorer.
Here's where I'll give Westbrook credit. Recruiting is about love. Mark Richt coaches Miami Hurricanes. I was talking to him about recruiting one time, and he said, listen, whether I'm in Georgia or Miami, you just got to tell the players, I love you. We need you. You're really needed here. And I do think OKC and Westbrook really made Paul feel like, man, and I think they're right, we really want you to be part of this.
As players, Harry, you got to you love Russell Westbrook. You want to play with every player wants to play with a guy like Russell Westbrook. Great players want to play with great players. It's not necessarily making your job easier, but you want to play with great players, and I think they had a lot to do with it because he's an MVP, one of the best players in the league. They can grow. They can get to the finals together, and I think Paul George understands that.
Look, what other reason is there to stay in Oklahoma City? This dude grew up out here in California. He lived in one of the best cities in America, Indianapolis, for a number of years.
Not for me.
And he chose to stay in Oklahoma City. That's got to be Russell Westbrook. And it's given me hope that we're going to see a little different version of Russell Westbrook moving forward.
Melo, too.
How do I know Russell Westbrook hasn't been empowered?
Melo, too.
Russell Westbrook last year had to play nice because he wanted to keep him.
He didn't play any differently.
He still averaged a triple-double.
Exactly. Russ played his same old game. And here's the thing. Look, Paul George had his best catch-and-shoot year ever. Best percentage from 40 or from three-point line. Defensively, that team with Anthony Robertson or Andre Robertson, hold on. They're starting five with Robertson, Melo, Westbrook, George, and Steven Adams was analytically one of the best starting fives in the league or one of the best five-man units in the league. So I'm not saying they're going to win a championship. Mm-hmm. I don't think they can win a championship. I think, though, they can be in the mix to maybe get to the conference finals here or there, but certainly be one of those teams that's fighting for the second round and be a tough team in the West.
It's hard when you have a shooting forward that you can hack a Shaq and send to the
He
line.
Can't shoot. I get that.
That'll kill you. But the fact that they had a year together, the fact that Melo's coming back, I think they all realize the sacrifices they have to make now to be great because I don't think the coach is there that they need, but I think as a team and those three guys,
you
I think they can
Melo's
figure it out.
Really they're not going to ice Melo. Why not cut bait with Melo?
By the way, you watched the Utah series.
Yeah.
I mean, Westbrook emotionally unraveled. What's changed?
That they lost. Sometimes you learn from pain and losing. And then just this whole recruiting process with Paul George, surely there were discussions about how can we win here because the way we went at it last year didn't work. I expect, and I know I'm stubborn, and I'll be proven wrong, I expect Russell Westbrook to make some adjustments and he and Paul George to work better.
Like what kind of adjustments?
Just share the ball a little bit more, not jack up so many
smarter
threes.
Plays.
Just smart, just
if
playing
he cut
smarter.
Down to three.
Yeah, experience is the best teacher.
Yep. All right, let's return to LA, where LeBron's decision to join the Lakers just shifted the entire balance of the NBA. While the West has been the association's dominant conference for several years, LeBron's presence in the East had balanced it out. But with LeBron heading west, the competitive imbalance has reached an absurd proportion with almost all the best players now concentrated in one conference. Kyle Hurd, is this bad for the NBA?
I actually do think it's lopsided. I don't think the dynasty is bad because dynasties are good for ratings and everybody tries to attack the dynasty. I don't think dynasties are problems. Here's an issue. Think about this. In the East right now, if just one player, Joel Embiid, who has a history of injuries, he played 64 games, if he got hurt next year, there's no company. I mean, it's literally the Celtics and Giannis. What would you have in the conference? Sports is about interesting. Ben Simmons is interesting. Giannis is interesting. The Celtics are interesting. Boy, you could lose five All-Stars in the West. It's still interesting. The East is an injury away from not even being watchable.
Again, what I think is bad for the NBA is, again, all the best talents on the West Coast, that means all your best talent is playing late at night. You're in bed on the East Coast. You don't get to showcase LeBron James on playing for an Eastern Conference team. You don't get to showcase him as often out here playing in L.A. I think a lot of your customer base on the East Coast is going to get a steady diet. I love Victor Oladipo, but I just don't think he drives ratings the way LeBron did.
I know the Raptors are screaming. I know they're so happy that LeBron is out the East. They have a chance, you know, to get to the finals now. But like you said, I love it, the fact that LeBron came to the West for the challenge that he's taking. But the East is not going to be entertaining at all to me. I think Boston's just going to run through the East.
Reseeding, Chris?
I've said for a while that they need to just – you can keep the conferences for organizations purposes if you want, but even out the schedule and go best 16 records. That's what I like to see. But let me say this, because that chart was a little deceiving. If you're right, Embiid has to stay healthy. But if Embiid does stay healthy, you have an up-and-coming great team in Philadelphia that, to your point, is also exciting. Okay, Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid,
they're fun.
Boston has Kyrie Irving, who is now a legitimate celebrity out of basketball. His game is fun to watch. So Boston's a legit team. So I think right there you've got two great up-and-coming teams. And Milwaukee, I expect to be much better with Mike Budenholzer, who led a Atlanta team to 60 wins a few years ago. They didn't have anything close to Giannis. They got Chris Middleton, Jabari Parker. Okay. So I think that the East is certainly not as good as the West. But if these teams stay healthy, it can be exciting.
I'm really concerned about you, because you're going to see a lot of first halves of LeBron James. No idea what happened in the second half. On your couch, knocked out, slobbered.
You have reduced LeBron and the Lakers to something between Orlando and Sacramento.
I'm just saying, all you're going to see is the first half. You will have no idea what happened in the second half.
You're used to him being in the East. Don't be different.
All right, welcome back. Time for Last Call. Let's move to Kobe Bryant, who appears to be happy about LeBron James joining his former team. Welcoming LeBron to the Lakers family on social media and expressing excitement about the decision in interviews today. Kyle, heard you buying it?
I am. I think Kobe's been really impressive since his retirement. I think he's been really focused on business. I think he's hit a couple of home runs. He won the Oscar, and I think he's secure with himself.
He's a competitive person. And I'm looking at people celebrate over social media. LeBron's the greatest Laker player of all time, you know, saying he's the best player to ever wear a Lakers uniform. Not saying he's accomplished, because he hasn't accomplished anything in a Lakers uniform. If I'm Kobe, I'm like, really? I'm going to make this guy go out and do something before we just anoint him. And so I'm not really buying that Kobe's happy. I think Kobe thinks he's going to see how hard it is. You know, playing basketball in Cleveland in the middle of nowhere, even down in South Beach, it's not the same as being out here in L.A. with all the demands, with all the paparazzi, with all the things that can blow up in your face. It's a lot easier to keep secrets in the Midwest than out here in L.A. I think Kobe wants to see if this dude can scale this mountain, and he's a little bit suspicious that he can't. Well, whether Kobe's happy or not, the Lakers have to be. Adding LeBron just boosted them to the second-best odds to win the NBA title behind Golden State. Kyrie, do you think the Lakers can already challenge the Warriors?
Not yet, but we saw real fatigue with Golden State this past regular season. Steph Curry got hurt again. Kevin Durant is a little bit, as you've pointed out, a little bit of a searcher and a wanderer. David West said after the finals, if you only knew what was happening. Steve Kerr immediately, by the way, signed a new contract because he knows this job's getting tougher, not easier. I think Golden State comes down this year.
They came down in the regular season already, but I think this energizes Golden State. Not so much during the regular season, but I think they'll play the Lakers five times. In those five games, you're going to see the real Golden State Warriors. And by the time they get to the postseason, if they see LeBron and the Lakers in the postseason, they're going to want to embarrass them.
I'm buying season tickets, and from what I've heard today, you'll never want to use my tickets to go to a game. Enjoy the Sacramento Kings.
Hey, you know, I'm not buying.